Gadadhar Pandit, one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Disciple of Pundarik Vijayaniti and the spiritual master of Ballabhacharya. Although the Ballabhacharya people don't accept that. But Gadadhar Pandit in the Panchatattva is the manifestation of Adini Shakti or Srimati Radharani. You know, on that Panchatattva, in the middle is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose combined incarnation of, he's described as a combined incarnation of Radha and Krishna, but actually he's Krishna, but who has taken up the mood of Radharani. So he is Vishnu Tattva, as I said, because he's taken on the mood and the feelings and complexion of Radharani, he's described as Radha and Krishna together. But on his right side, Nityananda is the manifestation of Balaram, and Advaitacharya of Mahavishnu or Sadashiva. So that side is Vishnu Tattva side. And the other side, left side, Panchatattva, Gadadhar and Srivas. So Gadadhar is described as Ladini Shakti, which means actually he's Radharani, internal potency. Although sometimes is described as Rukmini, because his has these feelings of submissiveness toward Krishna that sometimes Radha doesn't have. So internal potency. And then Srivas, Narada Muni, is Jiva Tattva. So that way when you see the Panchatattva all together is the absolute truth. So Sri Gadadhar Pandit is that. Aspect of the absolute truth, the internal pleasure potency manifest. Of course, the other person, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did disappear on Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day. He disappeared in 1914. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in September 2nd of 1838, before the Civil War in the United States, and gave up his manifest pastimes here as a 1914. So Thakur Bhakti Vinod is in many ways the architect of Krishna consciousness movement in the modern world. At least he was the first to take Krishna consciousness from he describes that he had to search for pure devotional service. He was, although his family had people who were devotees in it, by tradition, it was also not so much raised in that way, and so Bhaktivinoda Thakur became interested in, attracted to Krishna consciousness, but it describes a long search to actually find, to lead him to gradually to P. people who are actually practicing pure devotional service. He describes that he had a very hard time even finding a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita at that time. Because what was then, if you look at the time during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's lifetime, there was a famous a scholarly work published, Hastings Encyclopedia of Religion. And I think it was Hastings of Religion. And there's an article in there on Chaitanya, which merely says that he introduced a degenerate element into Vaishnavism. Because at that time, the Sahajiyas were widely known as the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so, devotional service in its pure form was hard to find. And ultimately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was not a renounced order, and he was not only a householder, but was very successful in worldly terms. Up until the age of 24, he had a teaching post, and he introduced English education. I mean, he was like a modernizing influence. So he's he who introduced English education into Orissa. And so he received a Western sort of education. They're not a traditional Vedic village education, but because since the time of 13 he was raised in Calcutta, was into the educational service, which was run by the English government, British government. And so he was first introduced to English education, and then at the age of 24 he became a civil servant. And for 23 years he was in government service as a magistrate. And he also managed the Jagannath Temple on behalf of the government. Did things like that. So he was not considered as a worldly person. He was familiar with what was going on in the world, and actually he read absorbed what was going on in terms of Western thought, philosophical thought, and so on. And because of that, he had this very universal outlook, and he wanted to take Krishna consciousness movement from being the property of a small group of recluses living in bamboo groves and little huts and turn it into a worldwide preaching movement, just as he saw the Christians were doing. And so he began to think of preaching Krishna consciousness to people who had received a sort of Western education and so on. And so he actually put the blueprints, his Namhatta, the blueprints for a worldwide Krishna consciousness movement, and preached and wrote in English, was the first acharya to do that. So that was his contribution, aside from producing among his sons Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was to become Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was to establish the institutional basis for the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 1887, discovered the actual birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wasn't where the pandits were saying it was, over in the present city of Navadvip. Then he describes his last days. At the beginning of the 20th century, He chose to live at Puri and built a house on the beachfront there. ISKCON is now possession of that spot, just across the street from the samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And we have, ISKCON has it. It's a rubble, pile of rubble mostly, what's there now, but that place is in our possession. It was just neglected and fallen apart. Anyway, house on the beachfront there. Many honest souls sought his blessings and readily obtained them when he retired to the fourth order of life by taking sannyas from Sri Jagannath Das Babaji in 1908. Though he was leading the life of a renounced soul, he could not avoid the men of all descriptions who constantly visited him. All of them received oceans of spiritual training, instructions, and blessings. In 1910, he shut himself up and remained in a perfect state of samadhi, or full concentration on the eternal pastimes of the Lord, and nobody saw him anymore. Really, almost literally walled himself in. In 1914, he passed on to the blissful realm of Goloka on the day which is observed as the disappearance day of Sri Gadadhar. So that's how he disappeared. I thought what we'd do this morning is I'd read to you, talk about some of his songs. Among other things, he wrote very beautiful devotional songs, of course, in Bengali. And he has one group of songs on the theme of Sharanagati. I thought we'd look at those because they give us very good instruction about what one has to do in order to surrender to Krishna. Here I'll start the introductory song. I'm just going to read in English. Sometimes we sing them and we don't study them. So today I thought we'd take some association from Thakur Bhakti Vinod by studying his what he's telling us. So he begins the introductory song, Sharanagati. He says, out of compassion for the fallen souls, Sri Krishna Chaitanya came to this world with his personal associates and divine abode to teach Sharanagati, surrender to the Almighty Godhead, and to freely distribute ecstatic love of God, which is ordinarily very difficult to obtain. This Sharanagati is the very life of the true devotee. The ways of Sharanagati are humility, dedication of the self, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer, faith that Krishna will surely protect, execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion, and renunciation of conduct adverse to pure devotion. So these are six aspects of Sharanagati. And in this song book, he writes groups of songs on each of these six aspects, exhibiting each of these six aspects. He then goes on to inform us, the youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna, hears the prayers of anyone who takes refuge in him by this sixfold practice. That's good to know. We want Krishna to hear our prayers. We have to take refuge to him in this way. Bhaktivinod places a straw between his teeth, prostrates himself before the two Goswamis, Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana, and clasps their lotus feet with his hands. I am certainly the lowest of men, he tells them, weeping. But please make me the best of men by teaching me the ways of Sharanagati. So first there are seven songs. I don't know how far we'll get, but we'll just start. There are seven songs on the theme of, first of all, dainya, humility. So if we want to know what it means to be humble, here it is. First, he says, I forsook you, O Lord, and came to this world of pain and sorrow. Now I submit my tale of woe at your lotus feet. That's the first thing. We have to understand we're here in this material world because we did something. And that is to say, we left Krishna, forsook. And what are the consequences of our having forsaken Krishna, turned away from him? We have to accept that we did this deliberate act of turning away from Krishna. And we've come to this material world. So now we have to go back to Krishna and say to him, we have to confess, Krishna, this is what I did. And now I'm going to tell you what happened. My tale of woe. While still in the unbearable fetters of my mother's womb, I saw you before me. You revealed yourself but briefly and then abandoned this poor servant of yours. At that moment, I swore to worship you after taking birth. This is stated in the Bhagavatam, this is what happens. In the womb, Krishna appears to the soul and he swears to worship him. I'm in here. He understands his position while he's in the womb. He has this flash of insight granted by the Lord as to his condition. And he swears to worship Krishna. So I swore to worship you after taking birth. But birth came. And with it, the network of worldly illusion which robbed me of all good sense. As a fondled son in the lap of relatives, I pass my time smiling and laughing. And I responded. I smiled back. And they smiled at me and I smiled at them. My parents' affection helped me to forget the pangs of birth. And I thought the world very nice. Day by day I grew and soon began playing with other boys. Shortly, my powers of understanding emerged. I read and studied my lessons incessantly. I was a good boy. Traversing from place to place, proud of my education, I grew wealthy and maintained my family with undivided attention. O Lord Hari, I forgot you. Now in old age, Bhaktivinoda is sad. He weeps. I failed to worship you, O Lord, and instead passed my life in vain. What will be my fate now? Next song. Confidently I spent my time in the pleasures of mundane learning and never worshipped your lotus feet, O Lord. Now you are my only shelter. Reading on and on, my hopes grew, for I considered material knowledge to be life's true path. How fruitless was that hope, and how feeble that knowledge proved to be. I now know that all such knowledge is ignorance. Knowledge of this world is knowledge born of your illusory energy, Maya. It impedes devotional service and makes an ass of the eternal soul by encouraging his infatuation with this temporary world. Here is one such ass. This is called humility, right? Here is one such ass who for so long has carried on his back the burden of material existence. The ass is a beast of burden. So this ass has carried on his back this burden of material existence. Now, in my old age, for want of the power to enjoy, nothing pleases me. Life has become agony now. My knowledge has proven itself worthless, and ignorance has penetrated my heart with the intolerable, burning pain of a pointed shaft. O Lord, I seek no other treasure in this world than your lotus feet. Bhakti Vinod abandons everything to make them the sum and substance of his life. We should see this is what happens. When old age has come and the power to enjoy the senses is taken away, although maybe the desires are still there, full-fledged, but you cannot now do anything. You may desire sex but are impotent, but still the desire is there. You may desire to eat, but you can't digest, and so on. And now you see my life has passed, and now in front of me is awaiting me the momentous time of death, and I have no preparation. All my knowledge, everything I've gained, now nothing helps. I'm falling back on my own resources, and I see that I was a fool. All the worldly knowledge I had is now cannot help me at this time. It did not stop me from growing old. It did not stop me from becoming infirm, and now it is not going to help me at the time of death. In other words, this is everyone has to learn humility anyway, if nothing else, from growing old. And from that ultimate humiliation, death. He goes on. When I was young, I greatly desired to earn money. At that time, bearing in mind the codes of religion, I took a wife. Together we set up a household, wasted much time, had many sons and daughters. My heart grew heavy. The burden increased day by day. I felt my life at a standstill. Old age came, grabbed me, and made my mind fickle and disturbed. Diseases trouble me now, and constant anxiety has made me feverish. My heart burns from lack of satisfaction. And I see no way out. All is darkness, and I am very much afraid. The current of this worldly river is strong and relentless. A frightening, gloomy death approaches. How I wish I could give up my worldly attachments. I would worship you, O Lord, but it is a useless hope. Now please hear me, O Lord, for I am utterly helpless. Bhakti Vinod says, without your mercy, everything is lost. Please, give me the shelter of your lotus feet. This is how we have to come to Krishna. I say, I have no resources, no recourse but you. You can learn different ways. One way is to go wait until you're old and discover. I am an impious sinner and have caused others great anxiety and trouble. I have never hesitated to perform sinful acts for my own enjoyment. devoid of all compassion, concerned only with my own selfish interests, I am remorseful, seeing others happy. I am a perpetual liar, and the misery of others is a source of great pleasure for me. This is called in German Schadenfreude, the pleasure you feel when you hear somebody else's misfortune. They have a name for it. The material desires within the core of my heart are unlimited. I am wrathful, devoted to false pride and arrogance, intoxicated by vanity and bewildered by worldly affairs. Envy and egotism are the ornaments I wear. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds. Yet I am very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For worldly fame and reputation, I engaged in the practice of deceitfulness. And thus I am destroyed by my own greed and am always lustful. A vile, wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender. I am such a person, devoid of all good works, forever inclined toward evil, worn out and wasted by various miseries. Now, in old age, deprived of all means of success, humbled and poor, Bhaktivinoda submits his tale of grief at the feet of the Supreme Lord. Hear, O Lord, my story of sadness. I drank the deadly poison of worldliness, pretending it was nectar, and now the sun is setting on the horizon of my life. I spent my childhood in play, my youth in academic pursuit, and in me there arose no sense of right or wrong. In young manhood, I set up a household and settled down to the spell of material enjoyment. Children and friends quickly multiplied. Soon old age arrived and all happiness departed. Subjected to disease, troubled and weak, all my senses are feeble now, my body racked and exhausted, my spirits downcast in the absence of youthful pleasures. Devoid of even a particle of devotion, lacking any enlightenment, what help is there for me now? Only you, O Lord, friend of the fallen. I am certainly fallen, the lowest of men. Please, therefore, lift me to your lotus feet. Were you to judge me now, you would find no good qualities. Have mercy and judge me not. Cause me to drink the honey of your lotus feet and thereby deliver this Bhakti Vinod. At your feet, soft as new-grown leaves, I offer this humble prayer. Those feet shelter the fallen souls who burn from the heat of material existence. But I gave up their shelter, and now my mind, scorched by the fire of worldliness, has dried up like a desert. I find no strength to go on, and thus I spend my days lamenting. My only desire now is for your lotus feet, O Lord of the meek and humble. Has there ever been a soul as forlorn as me? Please be merciful and award me the association of your devotees, for by tasting the pleasure of hearing your pastimes, I shall give up all evils. One hope animates my soul, to spend day and night in your divine abode, singing your holy name. Your tiny servant, Bhaktivinoda, begs a place in the delightfully cooling shade of your feet. A wicked mind brought me into this world, O Lord. But one of your pure and elevated devotees has come to bring me out. He saw me, so fallen and wretched, took pity, and came to me saying, O humbled soul, please listen to this good tiding, for it will gladden your heart. Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared in the land of Navadvip to deliver you. He has safely conducted many miserable souls, such as you, across the sea of worldly existence. To fulfill the promise of the Vedas, the son of a Brahmana, bearing the name Mahaprabhu, of golden complexion, has descended with his brother, the Avadhuta Nityananda. Together they have overwhelmed all of Nadia with divine ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, the son of Nanda, has saved the world by freely distributing his own holy name. Go also and receive your deliverance. O Lord, hearing those words, Bhaktivinoda has come weeping to the soles of your lotus feet and tells the story of his life. So that's how we are. One phase of taking shelter, humility. As long as we think we have some other recourse to something else other than Krishna, then we won't come. So one has to become humble. This describes Dainya. Next, Atmanivedana, dedication of the self. Eight songs. He says, I have earned neither piety nor knowledge. Overwhelmed by sensual pleasures, I have cheated myself and now see only darkness in all directions. You, O Lord, are the fountainhead of all mercy. I surrender myself at your lotus feet. Kindly show me your compassion. It is your promise that one who takes refuge in you will know no danger or fear. For a sinner like me, there is no other shelter. I beg you now for your infinite grace. When will I know freedom from desire and thus become yours? You are eternally to be served. I am your eternal servant, and that is the sum of Bhaktivinoda's